With these thoughts for background, let's return to social enterprise. As currently structured, our organizational forms encourage suffering. The rules of the road for business tend to encourage me-first selfishness, a perspective that conflicts with people's desire to view themselves as high-minded. The rules of the road for the nonprofit sector tend to discourage bold, effective action and risk-taking. And since achieving great results is as sought after as nobility of spirit, this too is frustrating for many people. The result? People are left feeling torn between two unsatisfactory choices, damned if they do and damned if they don't. This is where social enterprise comes in. It's about reducing the amount of suffering in the world, physical, spiritual, and emotional. It's about reducing the amount of suffering inside ourselves. It's about feeling good about the work we do and being effective, too. It's about bringing an end to the split in organizational forms that forces us to choose between doing good and doing well, thereby increasing our internal suffering, while also making it more difficult to reduce the amount of suffering in the world. Ask your typical social entrepreneur, and they won't say, "I'm doing this because I want to end suffering." They're likelier to focus on their particular cause. "I want to support the emergence of urban agriculture." "I want to get eyeglasses to people who can't afford them." Still, if you keep peeling back the layers of the onion, you'll eventually get to the same basic longing, the desire to end suffering, inside and out. Roll over, Buddha. But in this case, meditation is optional. Instead, social enterprise requires us to jettison our old mental models about for-profit and non-profit boxes and to replace them with new and more integrated notions about how to do good work in the world. There is a supposition here, and it's a very exciting one. It's that a modest tinkering with our reality tunnels can trigger a dramatically disproportionate change for the better in the world. Seen from this level, there is grandness, some might say grandiosity, in the concept of social enterprise. What else can one say about a project that, at the end of the day, at the beginning of the dream, seeks to end all suffering? And to do so, moreover, on a totally non-sectarian basis, with regard to one thing only, the welfare of all beings. It's an inspiring vision. No wonder it's caught on. Can it be achieved? This is an inevitable question. Like a runaway horse, the mind just gallops down this highway. But it's not especially useful. The more pertinent question is, can you and I make a positive difference as individuals? If we can, that's reason enough to take action. We needn't belabor higher-level questions about how close we can come to creating a utopia. Yet it's also true that we need big dreams. Not because they might come true. Because they fire us up. Because they set us into motion. And action makes all the difference. Why now? Big visions are nothing new. Christianity was a big idea, and it's over 2,000 years old. Communism was a big 19th century idea. But why social enterprise? And why now? The short answer is, it's an idea whose time has come. The world needs social enterprise. These are unprecedented times. The global population is connected as never before, with access to unparalleled volumes of information, much of it trivial and pernicious, but never mind that. Scientific and technological breakthroughs are transforming our world at a mind-boggling pace. Our inner sense of time, of urgency, is speeding up to match it. We're all becoming speed freaks, with a side of attention deficit disorder. Meanwhile, wherever you look, the walls are coming tumbling down. The signs of collapse are everywhere. In our imploding financial system, our stressed natural systems, our failing economies, and our hopeless and helpless politicians as they embarrass themselves inside a political system that attracts charlatans and blowhards, and where not even the best can succeed. In the face of all this, the old familiar strategies are looking pretty rickety. Will free market capitalism in its current global incarnation help us out of this mess? Not likely. How about our democratic form of government? What democratic form of government? Then how about the power of the people? Don't bother us. We're watching American Idol. Obsolescence, decadence, and indifference rule the day.